This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for May 13th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pinchem. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the JNS today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are oncology and pain. The importance of autonomic symptoms in trigeminal neuralgia, a clinical article by H. Neil Sims and Christopher Honey. This retrospective review of 92 patients who underwent surgery for trigeminal neuralgia demonstrated that patients who have autonomic symptoms associated with the pain preoperatively had a poorer outcome after microvascular decompression. The number of patients who were pain-free postoperatively was significantly less in the group of patients with autonomic symptoms. Those without autonomic symptoms had a significantly greater reduction in their baseline visual analog scores for pain postoperatively. Two-thirds of patients in the study had some autonomic symptom associated with their facial pain, and there was a tendency for the autonomic symptom to be in the same area as the pain. With first division pain, conjunctival injection, ptosis, and excessive tearing were the most common autonomic symptoms. With pain involving the second division, facial swelling was the most common autonomic symptom. Excessive salivation occurred most often when the pain involved the third division. The article discusses the similarities with short-lasting unilateral neuralgiform headache with conjunctival injection and tearing. This is a trigeminal autonomic cephalgia similar to cluster headache. The possible mechanism behind autonomic symptoms in trigeminal neuralgia is also discussed in this article. Clinical outcome of leukemia patients with intracranial hemorrhage, a clinical article by Joshua Chern and colleagues. The authors conducted a retrospective review of 76 leukemia patients with intracranial hemorrhage listed in the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center database. Mortality rate and imaging documented hemorrhage progression at 72 hours and 30 days were analyzed. Despite aggressive platelet transfusion at an institutional threshold of 50,000 per microliter, the mortality rate was 20% at 72 hours. This rate was significantly correlated with Glasgow Coma Scale score, but no other transfusion parameters, including initial platelet count, amount of transfusion, adequate response to transfusion, or attainment of the predefined threshold. The 30-day mortality rate was 33%. This was attributable to non-ICH-related causes and correlated with age and response to platelet transfusion. However, reaching and maintaining a platelet count over 50,000 per microliter was not a significant factor in reducing mortality. The conclusion from this study is that while platelet transfusion in the setting of an ICH in leukemia patients is likely necessary, it remains unknown what threshold results in clinical benefit. Furthermore, factors other than thrombocytopenia likely contribute to the overall poor prognosis. Phase 1 or Phase 2a trial of autologous formalin-fixed tumor vaccine concomitant with fractionated radiotherapy for newly diagnosed glioblastoma, a clinical article by Yoshihiro Muragaki and co-authors. More than three-quarters of patients with glioblastoma still die within 2 years of diagnosis. Clearly, there is a need for effective additional treatment options. Recently, several research groups have focused on vaccine therapy as a treatment for malignant glioma. Professor Muragaki and colleagues from Japan tested efficacy of the autologous formalin-fixed tumor vaccine for the treatment of newly diagnosed glioblastoma. 24 patients were enrolled into the prospective treatment protocol. All patients underwent aggressive tumor resection and fractionated radiotherapy. In addition, they all received 3 courses of autologous formalin-fixed vaccine, 5 intradermal injections per course, during the late stages of the radiotherapy. At the time of the study, temozolomide had not yet received approval for clinical use in Japan and was therefore administered only in cases of recurrence. Nevertheless, despite the omission of temozolomide chemotherapy, the progression-free survival and overall survival of the enrolled patients compared favorably with the previously reported data, particularly the actuarial 2-year survival rate, which was 40%. It should be noted that treatment with tumor vaccine was accompanied by very limited side effects. At present, the standard treatment for patients with glioblastoma includes aggressive resection, fractionated radiotherapy, and chemotherapy with temozolomide. The authors believe that the addition of vaccine therapy to such a protocol may improve patients' chances for a better outcome. Safety of microvascular decompression for trigeminal neuralgia in the elderly. A clinical article by Onind Rugoni and co-authors. Trigeminal neuralgia tends to emerge later in life. The most durable surgical treatment for this disorder is microvascular decompression. Debate has arisen over recent years as to whether or not an advanced age increases the risks associated with microvascular decompression. However, only small selected case studies have addressed this issue. The authors of the present study utilized a large national data set to examine the impact of patient age on in-hospital complication rates. They identified over 3,000 patients who underwent elective microvascular decompression between 1999 and 2008. Nearly 1/3 of this sample was over the age of 65 years, and more than 10% were older than 75 years. The in-hospital mortality rate was significantly higher in older patients. In all patients younger than 65 years, the mortality rate was 0.1%, whereas in those older than 65, it was 0.7%. In the patients older than 75 years, the in-hospital mortality rate was 1.2%. The risk of postoperative medical complications was also statistically higher with age. In patients younger than 65, the risk of any in-hospital complication was 3.3%, which increased to 7.4% in those older than 65 and up to 10% in those older than 75. The authors state that while microvascular decompression remains an effective and durable treatment, an advanced age should be appropriately incorporated into patient counseling. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.